folks. You're listening to The Idea Roastery. I'm Herman.
And I'm Jason.
Jason, what are your thoughts on public benefit organizations? Do you think they should be tax-free?
Tax-free, wow. There was a case, must have been like 5 years ago or something, where there was a company, they were selling bracelets made out of like recycled waste from the ocean. As weird as it is, like people were like just going mad for it. I think it was like some sort of internet phenomenon that just happened to take form. What they mentioned is there was obviously a bit of controversy about that company, because on the outside it looked like it was a non-profit, that they were just trying to clean up beaches. They were trying to save the ocean, but they were in the background actually a for-profit company. And the reason for this is that the for-profit, like in order to basically sell these bracelets, which is what they were doing, you basically donate, you get a bracelet that's made out of recycled trash from the beach. But in order to do that, that's actually a form of business that doesn't actually cater into a non-profit, right? You can't make a profit. You have to basically be showing that you're contributing to the cause that you've formed this organization for, right? And so they had to form a profit company in order to be able to carry out their business.
So different legislative areas around the world handle this differently, but in South Africa, we actually have a distinction between a nonprofit and a public benefit organization. So with a nonprofit, it's, as you say, it doesn't turn a profit. But that is distinctly different from a public benefit organization, where it works to the public benefit, right? It could be a nonprofit, but it could also be a for-profit company that has a public benefit arm of it. And if you can prove to the tax man that you are doing public benefit work with certain amounts of your capital, then you get that spend is tax deductible, and other tax benefits, if you will. And I really like that distinction over there.
I think I agree with that. I think in that context, I actually agree with the tax benefit. Because if you think about what taxes are there for, right? There's kind of like, you can think of a government as like the ultimate public benefit corporation, right? Because the idea is that you pay a regular fee from your salary, from whatever you're buying. All this tax goes into doing what we hope is public good. Obviously in South Africa and also in the UK, there is things like corruption. And so by offsetting tax, I kind of agree with that, because it's tax that would have gone to doing something of a similar nature. It's maybe not necessarily as directed, because now instead of the government deciding to do it, it's actually yourself by making use of products from that company. So there's a bit more choice. But I think the other thing that is interesting is that you can get corruption in a government, so you can also get corruptions inside of these organizations too. And you see it a lot with things like greenwashing, where it's on the outside, it looks like the company is doing really well. Like there's certain beer companies in the UK that do this. They look like they're green on the outside. They charge a premium for that, but then they're not actually benefiting, or in some cases, they're actually exacerbating a problem down the line.
There was a good example of exactly that. I forget the name of the shoe brand, but they had a thing where for every pair of shoes that you bought, they would donate a pair of shoes to starving children in Africa, right? And essentially what this meant is that certain villages in rural Kenya were just overwhelmed with a flood of shoes that like they didn't actually need. Like shoes weren't the problem there. Not having shoes was not the problem. But what that did affect is it affected the local economy, because people who sold shoes over there, well, they all went out of business because the market's just been flooded with a whole bunch of free shoes. And all of the ancillary things that, you know, the people who deliver the shoe or who go and import the shoes and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So in the end, it actually had a negative impact on the economy that it was trying to help. But in reality, CSRs, corporate social responsibility programs, in a lot of cases, They are terribly, terribly inefficient in the way that they spend their money because they are actually buying a product, and that product is the glossy pamphlet that they hand out to shareholders at the end of each year that has pictures of, people digging wells and donating shoes and stuff like that. And while, while it's good and well that there are these incentives in place to make businesses donate a portion of their, or incentivize them to donate a portion of their turnover or of their revenue, in many ways that money is just being redirected to advertising. It is a marketing campaign, and so it's not ne it is not necessarily a ethic, sorry, it's not necessarily, what am I trying to say here, a social good campaign as much as it is a marketing campaign for the business to market its products. Then you have definitively good campaigns, and we'll get into how you can identify those, but those are where you have a grassroots organization of people that run very efficiently, that are making a genuinely impactful difference in wildlife preservation or protecting homeless people, stuff like that. And those I think are the more important organizations.
I think it's not the act of giving that is the ch challenge, right? Because anyone can go onto the street and like give like food to a homeless person, or they could go work like themselves, at a shelter, or go and work for the SPCA or whatever your flavor is. It's not the giving that's the problem. There's like this layering of companies in between giving, right? And that's where kind of the issues start to crop in. I think the interesting thing is that over the last couple of months and maybe even years, like we've had a lot of layoffs in the tech industry. I haven't seen that many layoffs in other industries. Like you never really see NGOs people getting laid off, right? You don't see like, oh, this company that's helping this social benefit, they just laid off like hundreds of employees. And almost similar to like if you look at the Argentina process that's going on there, like people just like being removed from governments, it's like there's obviously a lot of room for the inefficiencies, even in the same way that you have inefficiencies with the sort of corporate benefit programs within companies. You also have the inefficiencies that can come into those other companies. So how do you choose what to invest your time in? You go for obviously companies that are grassroots, but what does that actually mean, and how is that practical?
Yeah, absolutely. So, what you say is 100% correct, is that when you have a regular business that is making money, there's a certain amount of efficiency in place because you can quantify the money spent versus the money received, money in, money out. Whereas with these PBOs or other public good organizations, is it's money in and then very difficult to quantify good out. So, as an example, if you're saving the rhinos, like we can say rhinos are cool and they're endangered, but we've spent 20 million rand on saving a rhino, and we could have also given clean water to, 100,000 children in, rural XYZ with that same amount of money. It's a interesting thing where it's hard to really quantify these things, and economists have tried, right? There are many different ways that they like quite a, try to quantify the value of a human life, or like the happy years of a human life, or the impact on the climate for future generations, et cetera, but it all gets real messy. I personally give a portion of my monthly salary to a couple of organizations. And the way that I think about it is, what are the things that I care about? Now, this isn't as efficient as I could be. I could theoretically go and set up that aforementioned spreadsheet of like, where is my money the absolute best served? Right. In which case, you'd probably see something like mosquito nets in Africa, which is what the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is focusing on, or sanitation, things like that. But I like to look around and see what is local to me that I would like to see improved that I don't see, especially like the government working on improving. And so for me, that would be the number of homeless people in the city, which correlates with the state of the streets and correlates with the crime rate in the city. And so I donate to a bunch of local homeless shelters, which gives them a place to stay and a locker to lock up their goods and two fixed meals a day. And it turns out that if you, for every like 10 rand donated, you can feed a handful of people, which is because we're looking at this economy of scale. They can make a big pot of, healthy, nourishing food as opposed to you giving 10 rand to someone and they go and they buy a loaf of white bread, right? I also care very much about the coast of South Africa. It's beautiful. We've got some of the most spectacular coastlines in the world, and they are constantly under attack by, like, especially fishing vessels from China. I mean, that's pretty much what our navy's job is just like going and chasing off illegal fishing vessels. And other corporate interests, like Shell was recently doing or trying to do seismic surveying on the West Coast, stuff like that. And so I donate to the WWF's Oceanic Fund in South Africa, which specifically focuses on expanding no-take zones, so no fishing can happen in these zones and the wildlife is protected, and cleaning up of those areas, et cetera, et cetera. And and there's another organization that does some reforestation and stuff. But overall, these are issues that I think are important, and I am not an economist, and I haven't quantified whether they are the definitive most important. But it also means that I'm incentivized to do it because it makes me feel good, and I think it's one of the things that the, hard numbers people get wrong is that you have to want to do something in order to do it. And so it's much easier to say, like, yeah, if we go to the logical extreme, we should be caring about people who are going to only exist 500 years into the future, right? Because it's going to be a lot more of them and at XYZ. But I can't personally empathize with a, unnamed multiple future generation person, but I see homeless people on my walk to the gym in the morning. And so that's how I see it.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely it's a great level of ownership that you have there, and I think that's like part of the reason that I wanted to talk about this is like you get a feel like I think there's like a never-ending feeling of hopelessness sometimes when you're living in a big city, but I don't think that people need to stick in that mindset. I think there are small things that you can change, and I think unfortunately at the moment, like there is issues when it comes to cost of living, those kind of things. People are getting fairly heavily squeezed by inflation in South Africa too, and so it's becoming harder and harder to donate and to actually do this giving service. But what I've also learned about recently is that the act of giving and the act of service is actually really good for your mental health in general, and just in terms of like overall well-being. Like people who volunteer tend to have a better outlook on life, and they tend to be happier and more blissful about their existence.
I mean, that could also be selection bias, right? The kinds of people who do volunteer are the people who are more optimistic in thinking that they can make a change. I'm just shooting some holes over there, but yeah.
Yeah, no, but this is like scientifically backed papers, right? There are like things that say like if you go and volunteer your time, and you see people, and specifically receiving gratitude is one of these like weird things that somehow is really beneficial. So when someone says thank you, that you actually get like a dopamine hit, and so it can be quite good. But I think these act like small acts of giving are actually like beneficial. I think it's really hard at the moment because there's not that much cash around to do it. But I think also, there are things that probably we don't know about that do need to be sort of addressed. And I think that's where maybe the bigger organizations kind of, we want them to play that role, right? Because, there could be some challenge that's maybe got a knock-on effect. Like I think climate change is one of these ones where it doesn't quite affect me today because I'm like, I'm quite happy. I'll probably be like dead before like anything really bad happens from climate perspective. But it's one of these kind of like we've spoken about it before, like investing for the future things is that I'm gonna probably invest what I care about now, and then there's not this like sort of longer term looking kind of organization to prevent these bad things from happening. The way I do it is like, well, I've recently, fairly recently been in the UK, so I'm looking to get involved in maybe some like council activities. I've done a few sort of giving exercises. I recently did a new one, which is I donated to a political party, which is like a fairly interesting one for South Africa going through the election this year. And so, yeah, I think it's more that I think if you have the means, it's easier to start giving. But I think you do get like some benefit out of it. That's not just seeing things improve around you.
What you said over there about donating to a political party is actually a really interesting one, is that there are very, very few organizations that have the scale to influence actual outcomes as much as the government,
Yeah.
right? And so by making sure that the or by attempting to help the people who you think have the best intentions for your country
Yeah.
to get into power, you probably have a very, very large impact comparatively that
Yeah.
way. And because, like, let's take, for instance, talking about homeless people in Cape Town, is the amount that I donate is negligible, right? Probably if I donate some money to a political party instead, it'll probably also be negligible. However, if that party gets into power and it cares about the living situation of these homeless people and it goes and it starts building infrastructure to support them and bidi-bobbidi-boo, like, yes, that's going to be a lot more effective of a, let's call it a altruistic investment strategy, right?
Yeah. It's a bit more bang for your buck, but it's also more longer term, I guess.
Yeah. Here's an interesting psychological thing though, is I started supporting these homeless shelters a few years ago, and one of the reasons is that I'm regularly approached on the street by people asking for money, and I know that my money is not well spent there. I don't even carry around cash just because South Africa is not, the safest of countries. And so I always say, listen, I don't have any cash, sorry. But I always feel terribly, terribly guilty, right? And I feel bad doing that. It's just a very human thing to empathize or sympathize. And I hoped that by donating money to these shelters that I would stop feeling so bad when I turn people down. And that didn't happen, unfortunately. And so even though I'm donating to these shelters to help, people who are living on the streets, I still feel incredibly awful when people come and ask me for money, and I kind of have to, like, cut off that part of myself that feels empathy and sympathy, and be like, "Sorry, man, can't help you today." Boop, boop, boop. So there is something to be said with it. If it was purely to make me feel good, I just walk around with a bunch of 10 rands in my pocket and just, like, someone asked me for money, like, "Here you go, sir. Off you hop." And I'd feel incredibly good. But I guess there's the rationalist part of myself that wants to just, like, optimize that money for success.
I mean, because I mean, there's a the I guess the kind of thought of like if you have more money to spend, you can do better, more things with it, right? Like someone who's got like a, like 5 million rand can build like a couple of schools, right? And that could like have a benefit that's more extraordinary than just giving, $10 to someone. And so I guess there's also like trade-off that you have to make. And I guess it's kind of like partly selfish in terms of like getting that dopamine hits, but also, doing good by your fellow man in a kind of like philosophical sense, right? Is feeling like you're part of the city that you live in and that you're contributing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think what I'm excited for is maybe like the evolution of giving and charity. I think looking at it now, there's still quite a lot of outdated things when it comes to how you donate. I mean, some of the forms are, like quite, old, that you put your credit card details onto it in online, and then maybe you'll get, as you said, you get an update maybe if you go to the AGM. I think there's a lot of benefit that can come into like bringing technology into it. I think things like GPTs and LLMs can maybe also at least optimize within those organizations. But I think the challenge will always be that it's for the vast majority, it's really hard to have a profit motive or actually generate revenue as a public benefit or as a NGO.
Yeah, there is also a worrying trend, especially in the United States, where there's such a big political divide, where in an attempt for the super wealthy to reduce the amount of tax that they pay, they go and they start a foundation, which they then funnel their money into. And let's take, for instance, you're a right-leaning conservative and you don't want to pay tax on your extra money. You funnel it into the foundation, and then the foundation goes and supports a whole bunch of right-wing think tanks, technically, but technically still falls within this nonprofit category. And then they go and they organize movements to get people to go and protest the government to make sure that you pay less tax. And so that's a very oversimplified example of that. But there are ways in which these systems can be abused, and what that means is that actually, as we try to patch up those holes in the system, we actually make it harder for people to just give to definitively good charities, because all those charities have to jump through all the hoops to say, like, hey, listen, we're not just, a money holding foundation for people who don't want to pay tax.
Yeah, I mean, it's always an option. And also, like, I think even in South Africa, like, you can get when it comes to like running like clubs and stuff like that, you get the same similar kind of issues, right? Like, people, have club fees or that you donate. But as someone who's maybe set up the club or set up the foundation, you can have a salary, right? You can say like, well, my salary is, whatever, 100,000 rand, and I'll take that from the donations that we get because I'm kind of doing an important job trying to run this charity. But you can actually not be doing actual any benefit, and so you kind of get that sort of double-sidedness. I guess maybe donating to your own charity, there's, you could probably pick that up with a bit of governance, but it's not, especially on the smaller scale, it's not really so easy to find people like that, right?
Or, I mean, then you also have the, let's call them the original nonprofits, are religious institutions where, they're operating tax-free. And in a decent number of cases, this doesn't apply to all churches, it just applies to some. It just becomes like a little piggy bank for these ministers who are cruising around in private jets and really extracting as much value as they can from the congregation. But I think that that overall is an outlier. Like, I could probably make a case for saying, like, hey, they shouldn't be nonprofits, but in the end, it is a community-run organization that is working towards their definition of public good. And as soon as we try to categorize, like, what is the definition of public good, we start getting into murky waters. So, are there any like cool organizations that you have your eye on to check out? Like, what do you reckon is a good way to go forward?
Yeah, I'm also interested in ocean preservation. I've looked around. I think the ch only challenge in London is that, apart from the Thames, you're quite far away from any sort of ocean activities. So in terms of actually like volunteering, it would probably have to be like a desk job or something like that. And so I've started to do the Woodland Trust. So there's actually a scheme where I work where you can donate a portion of your salary. Obviously, you get tax. It's tax deductible in some cases. But it's not an extortionate amount. But that's going to help keeping trees, forested areas, nice and green. So I'm quite happy about that. And the political party in South Africa, that was one. And I guess like the other one is maybe just trying to be more intentional. I know like I'm really interested to explore the governance structures of the UK, like to find out like how like council meetings run. So I've got this idea to really just go and attend one and see if they actually have like, I don't even know if they do them anymore. They probably all on Zoom. But like kind of getting a bit more involved, I think partially based on the fact that there's kind of been like two robberies at my local Sainsbury's. And so I'm just kind of like, why is no one doing anything about it? And I'm not gonna be like the old couch warrior just hacking away on Twitter. I'm gonna see if I can actually see what's going on there and see if there's any way to make it better.
You mentioned this to me last time we had our podcast, and since then I actually saw a couple of things pop up where it's like, hey, some grocery stores in the UK are now putting GPS trackers in their expensive steaks, which is quite a statement.
I mean it's crazy, like it's and like my girlfriend, like Banner's phone got stolen, so that was also quite hectic. And so it's, yeah, I think, but they're all ramifications of the cost of living. And also coming up soon is the mayoral
Mayoral
election.
election. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'm able to participate in that. So
Yeah.
yeah, I might vote for, what's it, Mr. Buckethead.
Oh, yeah. No, he seems like a strong candidate.
yeah, he's got at least he's got a strong head on him,
So I think in summary, it's like it is tempting to go and over optimize, and it's also tempting to completely under optimize, this being,
Yeah.
big spreadsheets versus giving money to someone on the sheet, and I think on the street. And I think a healthy way to do it, and again, everyone should go and give in the way that feels the best to them, but a healthy way to do it for me is to look around and see the what kind of change you would like to have in your local community, because you have a better understanding of your local community than you have about rural Kenya. And I think that's a good way to go. Hey folks, if you've enjoyed listening to our podcast, share it with a friend. Let them know that Herman and Jason talk shit once every 2 weeks.